To disclose. And, you know, I just wanted to say, I think this is really important because a lot of us are immigrants who came here, I mean, whether we are first generation or second generation, and it's really interesting because we go through a whole paradigm of trying to find ourselves before I guess we find ourselves. So I really like this definition of an immigrant, and it says a person who comes to a country where they were not born in order to settle there. And this is a picture, you know, being from New York, I had to have our skyline picture, and these are immigrants who landed there many years ago. So one of the biggest challenges, you know, as the presenters before me spoke, is there are a lot of language barriers, cultural taboos, especially when it comes to seeking healthcare. And for those of you who visited a physician's office, the pamphlets or the information they have, the health literacy, it's so high. It's supposed to be at a fourth or a fifth grade level. But some of the patients we see don't even have education at a second grade level. So how do they understand what is there? So this is really a major problem in communicating what the immigrants are supposed to know. And one of the biggest challenges I have found working in New York, which we have so many immigrants, as do Texas, California, and a lot of other places, is people, when you ask them, they are so scared to seek medical help because they think if they are undocumented aliens, they would be persecuted. So they don't understand that we are not bothered about that. You're trying to help them. So this is another issue of, fear of not coming to the city hospitals or going to a clinic to get help. And the other issue is lack of male health providers and female health providers. And the objectives of this presentation are just briefly to describe the challenges faced by immigrants in the U.S. and globally in getting healthcare they need, and to discuss the special healthcare needs and some strategies of how this can be addressed. According to a report which is published in New England Journal of Medicine, and I have this quote by this author, Dr. Oki, which I thought is kind of sums it up pretty accurately, that for recent immigrants, especially the estimated 12 million who are here illegally, seeking health care involves daunting encounters with a fragmented, bewildering, and hostile system. I mean, even to fill a birth certificate, there's so much of paperwork here. So when you come here, first of all, you have cut off your ties with your country. You're really in an alien culture, and even sometimes the weather is not very hostile if you're not used to the brutal winters, as we got an unexpected Halloween trick just before Halloween in New York, and it was a challenge for some of us to get here and the rest of the East Coast. So what I'm trying to say is this is really, really a big problem. And since they come here to earn money, they think even one day of visiting the doctor will take away. And we found this in a group of Bangladeshi immigrants in Coney Island Hospital, that when the women were given subway metro cards, they would come. Because that means they did not have to ask their husbands for money to come for their prenatal checkup. So this was a way of reaching out to the community, and then we worked with the grassroots organizations there. And the other biggest challenge is the medical care, as Monica mentioned, has becoming so expensive, not only for us, and if you're an immigrant living on a daily wage or a daily laborer, that if you're coughing this, so I just wanted to say that this is another big challenge, is because they don't want to go until they're really, really sick. So immigrants don't even have any preventative care, which is a big problem. And again, another paper, which was done by these researchers, Lano et al., says that before 1996, low-income legal immigrants qualified for Medicaid coverage, but the passage of the PRWORA has greatly restricted the immigrants' access to Medicaid and other public benefits. So this is another challenge they're facing. With the current economic crisis, these people also have been affected. And then shifting gears and going to UK from the US, we're just going to UK for a moment, even though we're all in DC in this room. Some of the studies found in a paper which was written by these authors, that the refugees living in the UK are, even though they're entitled to full care under the National Health Scheme, there are no clear-cut guidelines for the GPs, the general practitioners who are treating them. So this adds more, it adds more to the mess. And also, so 38% of the refugees had a problem registering with the GP because they were sometimes put on a short list, and that after 3 to 4 weeks, they were automatically taken off if they didn't get an appointment. So there was a big gap in this whole process of registering and before they actually got to see a provider. And the other biggest problem, what happens is that when they get out of this list, they don't even have the preventative services of like immunizations and screening. So this is like really a big challenge. And again, I just want to talk very briefly about tuberculosis, because Monica, you went into it in great detail. And I just wanted to share a personal experience. One of my cousins who lives up in Boston is a pulmonologist. And then she called me 2 years ago and she goes like, I'm on anti-tuberculosis treatment. I go like, what happened to you? She goes that apparently there was an undocumented woman who was employed by this guy who had a cleaning agency, and she had tuberculosis, and then she came in, in an extremely febrile condition, and she was like really sick, and she came to the hospital. And when they ran the test, they found out that she had active tuberculosis, so everybody who was in contact with her, including some of the physicians, had to take this. So what I'm trying to say is this is a big challenge we are facing, and in New York City, in the prison system, we do have many cases of prisoners who are with HIV/AIDS, and there's an increased incidence of multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis. And then some of the other barriers are, as I mentioned, low level of health literacy. They have no awareness or very little awareness of existing programs, and the fear of deportation is very, very high. And one of the other biggest challenges is if a female patient seeing a male provider, they do not like to see a male provider. And, it's really hard to get the same amount of cooperation from a patient if the provider does not belong to the same gender. And the case is same with, if there is a male patient seeing a female provider. And then sometimes some of the attitudes of the providers are perceived as unfriendly and unsympathetic, and there are a lot of cultural taboos, and they're suspicious of attitude of Western medicine. And we have torture clinics in New York, and these clinics really cater to the specific needs of the victims who have come to seek asylum as they have gone through a severe mental and physical trauma. And one of the other things I wanted to share is that once we had a child who was brought into the pediatric outpatient department in Coney Island, and this child was passing the stools, which were green in color. And when it was tested, it was not meconium, it was not that this child had jaundice. And then the mother on history taking, because there was somebody who could speak Bengali, found out that she was taking some green paste to increase her milk production, like a lactagogue. And so the child was passing this. So this is a very, it was a very sensitive issue to tell the mother, stop taking this, your child isn't feeling well. So these are some of the barriers we face as providers in having the accurate and appropriate culturally sensitive communication in reaching out to patients to say that what you're doing is making your baby sick. So you need to put it delicately, not saying that, what you're doing is horrible, throw the thing out. So this is an issue. And then I just have this slide up there, which tells us about the health insurance for non-citizen immigrants and native-born citizens. And then, so what can we do? Tuberculosis screening with follow-up evaluation it's really, really important. And we need to have clear policy guidelines to healthcare providers, because sometimes these things are totally missing. You don't know how you talk to them. And also, I think we need to train our residents and medical students and other healthcare professionals on cultural competency in respecting the immigrants, some of their cultural customs, and not saying, oh my God, that's yucky or horrible or something like that, which people sometimes do. And I really like this slide because I just wanted to say that globally we have the similar challenges, even though, there are people who have different colored hands representing people all over. And I think one of the biggest issues is we need to start working at grassroots levels and multidisciplinary to see how best we can address the needs of the immigrants. And I like this. I guess that's my bias being a physician to have a stethoscope around the globe.